Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Fredericksburg this morning. City Councilman Matt Kelly here along with Vice Mayor Billy Withers here this morning. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Billy, it's been a while for you. It's been too long, so it's good to have you back here. Your wife was in yesterday talking Ferry Farm, and you're in today with the city.
Yeah, I listened to you yesterday. That was quite a good show that you had. Good conversation.
So, yeah, no, a lot of good things going on at Ferry Farm. A lot of things going on in the city. Transportation. We'll start off with transportation. Matt, yesterday, and I thought of you because I saw the story about it, and I guess it came from the FAMPO meeting the other night about VDOT has changed the Rappahannock River crossing plan.
They've gone through a number of permeations of this, trying to get it to where it works. They had what was called a braided interchange, which would basically trying to loop over coming off of 17 onto 95 to separate the through traffic with the local traffic. And that went by the boards because of a cost issue. And so they started looking for the next plan. And as I understand it, and Marcy briefed representatives of each of the localities earlier in the week about this new concept that frankly came out of their office, which is why don't we just go ahead and use the space in between the north and southbound.
Mm-hmm.
And what basically, in its simplest form, is the current 95 lanes between 17 and Route 3 become the CD lanes, and then they will build new lanes to the inside of those lanes. So you'll actually have six lanes.
Okay.
And one of the good advantages of that is even if you miss the through lane going, you know, straight on down 95 and you get stuck in the CD lanes, you just go down to the next to get down to Route 3 and just jump right back on it. So just technically, you've got six lanes of traffic moving south there. The only concern I had, well, the two concerns I had, and I think other localities had, is going south and merging it with the hot lanes. You know, it still comes to one lane, so all that traffic coming off of one lane, and then having to merge in off of one lane to the left. And we have asked that VDOT provide us with the traffic flows. You know, obviously, as you get farther down 95 or farther south, the amount of traffic in the hot lanes gets smaller and smaller. And we're just trying to make sure that if you've come down there in the old days near Manassas and then later now in Stafford, you get a big backup when you try to merge that traffic in. So that was a question. And the other question was moving, whether or not we can still have hot lanes.
That was my question.
Yes, we can still have enough space to put in hot lanes if we want to. And the other question is, with the northbound improvements, those will have to go to the those CD lanes will have to go to the outside. They can't come back down the middle. They'd go to the outside going north. But this way, you've limited the footprint. It's one more bridge, but it's in between the other existing bridges, so you're not widening the footprint across the river. So all in all, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And one of the minor concerns was the fact that if you're in the through lane, of course, you miss the visitor center there in Fredericksburg. So I think it's important maybe to get signage up far enough back north to know that if you want to get off on Road 3, or if you want to get off at the visitor center, then you need to get in those feeder lanes rather than stay in the through lane. I think that's a minor concern, but it's certainly it's a concern for me as a member of the Council of Fredericksburg. So,
well, it's good that this has been talked about for so long, and there have been so many options out there, and it's gotten into all kinds. There have been all kinds of debates about it. It's seemingly
parts
moving
of it,
ahead.
No, it's they're hoping to be digging dirt in the next two years, I guess, around 2020-21 time frame. Another aspect of it, which is going to be an interesting discussion later on down the road, is, and I don't think this was in the paper, keeping open the option of cutting through the visitor center into Central Park or potentially farther down, at least keeping that option open, which I think, frankly, in the end of the day, is critical for this project to really work. is to build something that separates the commercial and residential traffic on Route 3. Because if you bring people down the CD road and you're dumping them onto a failing road, which Route 3 is at certain points of the day, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's been talked about in the past. Why? What's been the holdup on that? Or what was
Spotsylvania County?
That's what I thought. But give me my next question. Isn't that something that Spotsylvania has fought against?
Spotsylvania has fought that tooth and nail. Concerns about impact. Concerns about condemnation of property. Yet every option that have been put forward by members of the Spotsylvania board involved more condemnation, bigger costs. But not in Spotsylvania County.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I do wonder sometimes about their line of thinking. And also one of the members is concerned about this would go near his property. So.
Okay. There's a lot of
stuff
in there. But yes, that has been because we've discussed that before of that's what makes
sense. Well, the interesting thing is everybody has talked about, you know, coming across the river again and having another route across the river, and we nixed that years ago, the outer connector. But the option we looked at was option 5 of the outer connector, and the reason we picked that and put it into this project was it was the least evasive, least impact of any of the other options that were on the table. Mm-hmm. And again, we had the approval of one Spotsylvania board because we went through the whole permeation, and then when the changeover on the Spotsy board, everything went south for the winter.
And now things at least because a lot of these ideas were discussed back then, and we're kind of back
what a lot of people don't realize or have forgotten, this whole project, these improvements on I-95 north southbound, were not generated at the state or federal level. This started out as a local project and a local initiative, which resulted into something else we'll hopefully talk about is transportation authority of how we may fund projects like this in the future. Because when we started down this road, this goes back 2002, 2004 timeframe. It goes way back.
Yeah.
You know, we understood that the size of this project was going to be such that getting funding would be difficult. And we talked about a transportation authority. We ended up settling at the time. If you remember, we still have a toll road authority. Mm-hmm. And we need to start those conversations again if we're going to get serious about transportation in the region.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a transportation authority, because I know you and others have talked about just with the funding that's there or the funding that's not there on the state level and in the national level, that's something that we need to look at. We'll talk about transportation authority. When we come back, Matt Kelly and Billy Withers from the city here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
From Fredericksburg City Council here this morning, Billy Withers and Matt Kelly here. A number of things to talk about. Staying on transportation, Matt, you mentioned we have talked over the years, boy, I bet we've talked on this show for 15 years about a transportation authority, and you've made the case that this is the way things have to be funded, because it's state officials will tell you that the years and the time is running short when there's going to be any state money available for new projects.
A few quick highlights. Last round of Smart Scale, the state had basically $1 billion to spread around to try to cover $9 billion in projects. The Department of Rail and Public Transportation just put out an email to all the transit organizations, including FRED, VRE, PRTC, OmniRide, OmniLink Transit in Northern Virginia, and basically saying, you guys have got to find new sources of funding outside of government money. And when you look at VRE, we raise fares 3% every other year, and then subsidies for the localities go up every other year. Even at that level and keeping the level of service, we go bankrupt in 2032. PRTC has already cut service by almost 20%, still $9 million in the hole with no new money coming down. So things are a bit of a mess. State has already told us no new funding for the next few years. 2021, we have the big shift, more money going to state of good repair than new projects. So am I sitting here saying, you know, the transportation authority is the greatest thing since sliced bread? No, I'm not. I understand it involves finding additional money locally to help with transportation. But the reality is there is no new funding coming down. In fact, it could be less. And doing nothing does have its costs with regards to economic development, tourism, quality of life, that if we don't step up to the plate, we're going to have these problems just going to keep getting worse and worse, and which is, again, impact tourism, impact economic development. And we've got to do something. We can't keep doing the standard political thing, which we have a tendency to love to do, is not my problem. It's the state's responsibility or it's the Fed's responsibility. Good politics, bad governance. I mean, we really do need to do something.
And one of the big disadvantages we have is in new projects, Northern Virginia has an authority. The Norfolk or Virginia Beach area has an authority. Mm-hmm. So they can leverage money on new projects. I don't remember the numbers. I'm sure Matt does. But when new projects come on and funds come up, if they put up a certain amount of money, they are most likely to get their project done because they've got some skin in the game. And that was perfectly evident this year with the numbers. They got the bulk of the funds. I don't remember what that was, but I'm sure Matt can help me with that.
Well, just an example, in Hampton Roads, they had a $600 million project on 64, and they put $500 million in of their own local funding through their transportation authority. So, frankly, I can understand what the state is saying. For $1 million investment, we're getting this big project that we need on 64.
Yeah.
And Northern Virginia did similar things with their funding. And it is impacting us. And we can't compete with that, especially on the bigger projects. And unless we, again, find a way to put some skin in the game.
And plus, the no floor on the gasoline tax for us has killed us. I'm sure Matt's talked about that before. We're actually getting less money than we were getting because the price of gas has gone way down. So nobody likes to add a tax, but the reality is if we're going to get the roads maintained, the bridges maintained, and new roads built, we're going to have to figure a way to come up with some funding on our own.
Well, and we see it all the time. We saw it last week, especially those days with the rain, getting around anywhere here last weekend, whether you were on 95 or Route 1 or Route 3, anywhere, you couldn't do it.
And that's the big change in the dynamic is years ago, everybody can come down here for a day trip over the weekend or, you know, just come down an hour drive, stay around. Now the weekends have actually gotten worse on 95 than the weekdays. I mean, because on the weekends, it's almost constant. Whereas on the weekdays, you know, you have your peak hours in the morning and in the afternoon. But if we don't do something about this, it's a problem. And what the state came back and said is because when the state rates the projects, they don't look at weekend traffic. In fact, they only look at Monday through Thursday when they're looking at how much congestion is on the roads, and we're going, wait a minute, we're congested. Well, you know, we're concerned about that's tourism traffic. And we're going, this is 95.
Yeah.
This ain't tourism traffic. This is, you know, the economic system of the entire East Coast working 24/7. And you've got to start taking that into consideration, which is one of the things we're trying to get the state to do and making some changes to how they rate projects in smart scale.
The whole smart scale, because we talked about this, I think, the last time you were here, about you all were very disappointed with just the last round of funding.
Big question is, why should localities or regions be made responsible for projects on the interstate system? If you're going to make us responsible for projects on the interstate system, why are you only rating their, quote, impact on the region itself and not looking at their impact system-wide?
Yeah.
You know, to say it improve, how does this improvement on 95 help your region instead of how does it help movement of traffic along the entire East Coast doesn't make a lot of sense. And then they look at things like, well, how far do people commute from your area? And they stop at 45 minutes. We're going to Washington from this region, which is a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Yet that's not part of this equation. So, you know, this one plan fits all mentality that the state has makes little or no sense. And of course, we sent our 22 recommended changes to Smart Scale to Richmond, and I believe that the CTB will be taking up that discussion later this summer.
So you've done this and done this for a long time and seen it progress. Do you have any hopes that a transportation authority will be, because there are certain people in elected government right now that you know you'll never get a vote from.
Right now, if we were to set up a transportation authority, we only need two adjoining jurisdictions. We don't have to have the entire region.
Okay.
Based on the FANPO meeting on Monday, got a little bit contentious. But for the first time, we discussed it. Anytime I've brought this up before FANPO before, I couldn't even get a second for a discussion. We have now agreed that at our next meeting in June, we are going to have a full-fledged discussion on this topic, and most of the jurisdictions, including King George and Caroline and Stafford, said, you know what, we want to look at this, we want to consider it and see how much we would make, what the impacts would be, how would things be done. The only people at the table right now who just flat out said no way in hell is Spotsylvania.
The chamber has gotten involved, and I know has held a number of meetings and gotten the localities together. And there's one coming up June 1st.
June 1st, 1170 International Parkway off of 17 in Stafford, okay. From 8:30 in the morning till 10:30, and it's going to be a panel discussion. Each of the jurisdictions will have a representative there and make a presentation on looking at, as we did Monday night, how does the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority set up, how's the Hampton Roads? They're set up differently and have different goals and how they disperse the funding. But right now, we're going to have the conversation. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what we need to have. Now, if we turn around and say, no, you know, the effort's been made, don't come screaming at me when your projects aren't getting funded. Yeah. Because what's really interesting to me coming Monday night is I have a jurisdiction that now wants us to add two interchanges to our long-range plans, wants CD roads extended all the way down to Massaponix, wants all the transportation improvements coming off of Harrison Road, and yet when you say, okay, guys, how are we going to pay for it? They just sit there and stare at you. You know what? I've got a problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. So much for regional cooperation. The other component, getting the chamber involved, you get the business community involved, and it's not just politicians talking now, it's business people telling the stories about how, like you say, we've got a real problem here and businesses aren't going to come here and some may leave.
You know, most of the people that I know who are supporters of the Republican Party, big supporters, have businesses. Some of them have trucks sitting on 95 paying $15-$20 an hour for their workers and burning fuel and going nowhere. They don't mind this. I mean, they are pushing. A lot of these delivery places are pushing for gas employees, for their employees, of the gas tax, because it saves them money. It saves them money if they can move their vehicles and their employees. So the chamber, I think, is on a whole in favor of that. And, you know, I think that's where they are with it.
Well, and a lot of times people will say, I don't mind paying a tax on this or paying a little extra if I can see something.
That's the key. And I have a lot of friends on both sides of the aisle, as it were, and I've got some friends on the far right who basically said, if you can show me and tell me that this money will go to nothing but transportation and it's not going to get funneled anywhere else, you know, we understand it, we're willing to support it. And the one thing about being in local government, the state doesn't give us much authority to play with money. So any money we get for these things has, like the gas tax, has to go to transportation.
Yeah.
Well, and when things get done, you think, I mean, one of the greatest transportation things, when the Falmouth intersection, but the Falmouth Bridge finally got done, and that worked so well, you just felt like, well, it's much better. It's better than it was.
But it's another classic example of what would have been a good long-term solution got nixed because of cost and available funding. So we now have a solution that, you know, for the next 5 or 6 years is probably going to be fine, and then we're going to come back and have this discussion.
It's going to be the same thing.
Well, and I think some of some of that was the historic Falmouth too that nixed that. I think it was
they wanted to do a flyover.
Yeah. And I really believe that was part of it. As much as funny, I'm just amazed at how well that simple solution works now. You may be right, Matt.
You can already see that it's starting to slow down.
I haven't been through that in a few weeks, but it's still
better than it was.
If you ever play the game with fortune cookies, which I won't say, you know, add this phrase before or end the phrase with this.
Yeah,
you know, transportation's the same way. Whenever anybody tells you, "Oh, we've solved the transportation problems," you got to add the last little paraphrase, which is until the next election cycle. That's basically what it is.
That is. It's
we've pushed it down the road. Even HB, 2013, which it was a huge screaming match, got us 5 years. Yeah. That's it. And now that money is, going out the door, and we're back where we were.
Interesting. And we never have talked about the. That's the first mention of the fortune cookie game on this show. Thank you. Matt Kelly here, Billy Withers from the city. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
From Fredericksburg City Council this morning, Matt Kelly here, Billy Withers here. We are talking about a number of things. Before we get off of transportation, I guess the one thing, Matt, that you have talked about, and like I said, you and I have talked about this for over 15 years, I think, we have done shows and talk transportation. And you always talk about, and you did have, when the General Assembly passed the big bill a few years ago, said this is too complex of an issue, one bill isn't going to do it, or, one legislative session.
Any person who stands in front of you and gives you an answer to an issue in 25 words or less, you've got to be a little skeptical. I think the Transportation Authority is a critical discussion, and I think the community must be engaged as part of this conversation, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to have to put out the money to do this. When somebody stands up and says, well, all we have to do is build a $100 million office park and tell the federal government to send jobs down here, that is not a solution. We're not part of the National Capital Region. We are tied to the hip to Washington, D.C. We have made multiple efforts to the Government Services Administration about trying to locate down here. There's a lot of things. I'm not saying that we don't want to stop trying to bring jobs down here. But one of the problems we're actually having, and the FRA will tell you this, is because of the congestion on our roads, nobody wants to start down here and try to go north. And we'll always be tied to the north. But when somebody stands up and just says that in a soundbite, you got to start asking questions. And I hope as this debate continues that the public will hear things like that and say, well, wait a minute, we've got a glut in office space now down here we can't even fill up. So why is building new office space going to change the dynamic? What is the federal regulations related to moving an operation down here? Is there a need to do that? And right now, if any federal organization or any Beltway Bandit organization wants to be as close to Washington, D.C. where the money is, and not necessarily down here. And frankly, the land prices and the cost per square foot difference between us and Northern Virginia is getting smaller. And when somebody looks at that and goes, well, if I got to send somebody up to D.C. or group people up to D.C. and it's going to take 2.5 hours to do it, and FRA has told us that there have been businesses that looked in our area and said, you know what, too much traffic congestion, we're not coming.
Yeah. Okay. We will continue this obviously as it goes on, but it's a lot of different groups now involved beyond politicians. So.
Yes, thankfully.
So you said June 1st, 1170 International Parkway is when the Chamber's having there.
8:30 to 10:30, there'll be a start that. And again, I really urge the public to, stay involved in this discussion, send questions, bang on our doors and call us and say, what are you doing about this? What's your position? Why do you have your position? And let's have a good conversation.
On to some other things. Billy, Billy Withers here, Vice Mayor with the city. You're on the parking task force, has been studying a lot of things. Where does all that stand right now?
Well, we're getting ready to make recommendations to the city council and see which direction they would like to go. The study or the solutions indicate that that we have pretty much sufficient parking, but sometimes not always in the right areas. There's talk of metering William Street and Caroline Street, what is called the premium parking spaces, and lowering the cost of the parking garage. So folks who say, are possibly even free parking garage. So all of the folks that work downtown, rather than take the parking spaces in front of their businesses or their employers' businesses, they'll move in those in the parking garage and leave the premium spaces open for customers. That's just one of the things that we're talking about. You know, there's also suggestions of places for additional parking garages as we go forward. A couple of those I think are questionable, but my position has always been, and my friend Matt and I disagree a little bit on this, is that while spaces are available that we know would make good locations for parking garages or flat lots, especially parking lot or parking garage spaces, that we should buy those. And even though we might not build a garage today, we'll have that space available when we do need a garage. Or if this magic thing comes about that everybody talks about, that one day we're not going to have any cars, we could sell it back for development. I find it kind of hard to believe that a city or a region like Fredericksburg, who clamors for tourists, will not have cars come to their location. So I think that we are always going to need a certain amount of parking spaces. Quite frankly, the solution in Fredericksburg is not easy because we have a small downtown area with small streets, old 18th century streets that are not very wide. And we have residential areas that back right up to our downtown. Therefore, if we get too much development with our parking, they bleed over into the residential areas. And we've had a lot of that problem with a new restaurant that came up. So most of the blocks around the immediate area have gone to permit-only parking for residents. That's a solution, but in my mind, it's not a good solution. If you have someone come, have a little party or an outing at your house, that means you got to dish out permits for people to park as they visit. So I think some of the solutions that we came up with are good. They're certainly worthy of discussion. We'll have to wait and see what City Council thinks of them. I'm not sure everybody's biting on parking meters. And by the way, these aren't the meters like we used to have back in the 50s and 60s at every lot there. The ones right in the middle of the street where you go to an app or stick your credit card in, get a ticket and stick it on your window. I'm struggling a little bit with that, but I do know that it worked back when I was a youngster. I mean, we used to pay, I think it was a nickel an hour back in the 50s and 60s. Maybe it went to a dime. I don't know.
So you ready to support all of that, Matt?
Well, first I want to thank the vice mayor. I know a lot of time and effort. And Billy's been around long enough. You know, when we've had these discussions on numerous occasions in the past. I do have some concerns in when we saw the map and says, well, we've got excess parking. All the little green areas that were the excess parking were in residential areas, not in commercial areas. One, two, most of them, as Billy mentioned, when we, and this frankly was a self-inflicted wound, approved a restaurant with no parking, you know, we got what we asked for, which is the neighbors going absolutely apoplectic because, and now we have residential parking next to the farmer's market. So people are going, well, wait a minute, we've always parked here and now you're saying I can't.
I've run into that.
So I have a little issue with, oh yes, we have all this available parking, let's do it. And then we talk about, oh, we need to move our employees off the streets to get them off these premier parking spaces. All right, where are we going to put them? And you know, I really think we do need to look at another deck sooner rather than later. I will go along. I think we did direct staff at the last work session. Let's do some of this incrementally. Let's do low hanging fruit, easy things to do, no cost things, and see how they work. Make the parking deck free parking either on weekends or for a period of time, and see how that works. and, you know, move in that general direction. But a lot of what was in the report also is, and Ann Glave of Main Street made this point, and she goes, did you differentiate between local people coming downtown and tourists? Because this has been a long-term debate downtown anyway. How many hours should you be allowed to park, what you should do? And I think the report really kind of focused more in, we want parking turnover. We want people to come in. We want to move out so somebody new can come in. You know, that might make sense when you're looking at the local traffic. And what was interesting, and Billy was there, FAMPO did a presentation from one of our experts who, they're now tracking your car, by the way, if you put that on your list. And we're now getting to see where a person leaves and goes to and how they get there.
Huh.
And downtown, most of the traffic flow is actually within downtown. It's just people moving their cars in and around downtown, which is something we should consider. But we need to take a closer look at that whole debate of economic development tourism. Do we want a tourist to get a $50 ticket, you know, the first time here or second time here in the city? Because another aspect of this is we want to crank up the fines. All right. But there was no real, I guess, looking at the economic side of this discussion. It was primarily, again, like traffic engineers. Traffic engineers don't look that it's a residential neighborhood. They just see a road. Yeah. And how does the traffic flow in that system? Right now, we were looking at primarily how do we keep cars moving and out of the way, and not. I think we need to have a little bit more of a conversation on the economic aspect of it.
Yeah, Matt's exactly right about the green areas. What do you call it? Green areas, the residential parking areas. But the good thing is that that study broke out the business and the sub-business areas and the green areas, the residential areas. So we know, and I brought this up at the committee meeting. It's no point in saying that these parking places in the residential areas are available because they're simply not available. You can't park there, and we don't want them to park there. We want them to park in the residential zones. And keep in mind one of the reasons that we talk about parking meters is parking cost. Mm-hmm. And so we need to figure out a way to generate the cost of monitoring parking and paying for parking and paying for garages rather than to take it out of the general fund. So the meters is a way to do that. I mean, there's discussion of putting parking meters on the west side or the north side, whatever you think of College Avenue. I don't know whether you've seen that or not. That supposedly will generate around $85,000 worth of income a year.
Huh.
If that's now free parking.
Yeah.
We discussed that with representatives of the university, and we're getting some pushback about, we didn't get that during all of the discussions. We didn't hear a lot about that, but we're starting to hear some from it now. So, we've got some things to work out. It's no question. This is the beginning. This is a study for a solution. The study promotes the solution, and I think by the time council scrubs it over, and you know Matt's pretty tough, so I'm sure we're going to come up with something.
That'll be
workable for everybody. But I want to tell you there was some hard discussion during the time. We had good representatives. We had the EDA represented. We had the council represented. We had the college or university represented.
Yeah.
So we had a broad group of people of downtown Main Street represented. So it was a broad cross section of the city that looked at this for the solutions.
I guess the one aspect of that, and just so we keep the discussion continuing as the council deals with this, when they talked about College Avenue, and one of the reasons given for charging is trying to push the college students and faculty to use the existing parking decks.
Right.
So is it an issue of making money, or is it an issue of pushing people off? And as we all know, when you start charging, it has an impact. So we need to really kind of focus on what is the goal of doing this. If it's raising money, fine, then we'll set the money to keep people parked there and paying money, or are we doing it to push them out, in which case, you know, the amount of money you raise might be a little less than you think.
It's both. It's absolutely both. It's for the city to make money and to push a lot of these folks have already paid that tuition to park, and instead of parking the garage, they're parking on the street. And the university is getting ready to build, in, I think, 2018, another deck. Next to the old power plant there.
Right on it, yeah.
So that lot will be available.
Oh, yeah.
So this, you know that. Listen, they are not easy solutions to a small town like Fredericksburg when it comes to parking, especially when you have special events, big First Fridays. I mean, everybody's been downtown on First Fridays or in the summertime. It's a tough nut to crack, but I think we can come up with something that'll be doable for everyone.
As we've talked about this, and I've thought of my own habits, and it's sort of like I've never even considered. And I'll sometimes you drive around and around and around looking for something, and we'll go. I've never even considered the parking deck. And I think part of it is if I go to Richmond or go to D.C., I'm always looking for a parking deck. For around here, I'm figuring, well, I live around here. I can find something, and I don't want to do that. But I've never even considered the parking deck.
And one of the things that we discovered in this study is that we really don't do a good enough job of directing people to off-street parking places that are available other than the city. You know, we do some partnerships with some private businesses, some of which we're going to lose. But we don't do a good enough job of that. So that's one of the challenges. That's one of the things we talk. And signage. The huge thing in this study was everywhere you look, there's a special sign for 15-minute parking, for school board, for this the person and that person. We take up a mammoth amount of our on-street parking for special uses that sometimes sits vacant because it's only allowable for one use. So we're all of those things we're looking at, and this study brought those kind of things. And I think it'll be a much better place once we get a handle on it.
No, I agree with the Vice Mayor that this is a difficult topic to get your hands around and coming up with solutions. It's going to be a give and take. I'm just looking forward to a very good and robust conversation, but I really do think we need to start looking at the original plan going back over a decade of basically three small parking decks around the downtown and letting people come in and do it that way. Because, again, we had a leased parking lot right behind the Princess Anne Building, which is now no longer ours, and that's the other factor which makes this critically important, is even within the time that report was done, and he plopped up the picture on the screen, a lot of those lots he was listing as public lots aren't public lots anymore.
One thing I love about my friend Matt Kelly, he's always looking for a robust conversation, and I very much enjoy that.
Yes, he does. Matt Kelly here, Billy Withers here from the City Morning Town Talk. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
From City Council this morning, Matt Kelly and Billy Withers. Just some great conversation. We've got to do this again maybe next month and continue on with a couple of other issues that we're not going to be able to get to this morning. But big weekend this weekend. Matt and Billy, the half marathon has just become a big economic tool for this area, and a lot of people will be in town.
About 10th anniversary for the run.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to a local reporter and suddenly realized I've been shooting the firing gun now for 10 years.
Wow. Oh, you do that? Because I've never been downtown for it.
No, I do. I go down in uniform, civil uniform, and fire the musket to start the first race. I have been doing it since the very beginning.
Okay.
And when they said 10 years, I kind of scratched my head. Has it been that long? But it's a great event.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of people come from all over, not only the country, but the world to run in it. And it's a very big event for the city.
And Matt's doing the welcome tomorrow, I think, for the people coming in.
Yeah, the mayor usually does that, but she's going to be on the river float with, I guess, tomorrow. And then the vice mayor is supposed to do it, but he's got a birthday tomorrow. So
happy birthday to you, Billy Withers.
Thank you.
They gave me the opening day remarks.
I appreciate Matt doing that for me because I had some things planned that I wanted to do. And
happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
You don't look a day over 25.
Well, no, I'm 39, actually.
Good. Okay. Well, okay. The other thing, Matt, is we talk about big events. Memorial Day around here is, I just think it's one of the most special things. And I always, you and I run into each other numerous times on Memorial Day weekend.
There's a lot that goes on in Memorial Day.
There is.
You start, in the morning at the Confederate Cemetery. Then we go up to the National Cemetery. Then the local area vets have their event at the War Memorial, and it is. And I think it is a time, that we really need to focus in on, the people who have served this country, made sacrifices for this country, and I think I say this in every talk or speech I give on this topic, is that, you know, we, those who have not served but enjoy all the benefits of what they've done, you know, honoring is not enough. You need to go out and, you know, participate in government, you know, vote and do something, give something back to the community to kind of honor their the sacrifices that they've made. And hope to see a lot more younger people out this year. That's the one thing I think is a little disappointing, is the younger generation doesn't seem to be there for a lot of this.
In all the programs you mentioned, they all are unique in their own way, but mm-hmm. they really are. This area has such a connection with war, and if you don't go to at least one event, or if you're really missing out. And then the Park Service on Saturday night next weekend will do the Luminaria, and just a number of things going on. Yeah.
No, it is a very good weekend, and again, you know, enjoy the barbecuing and things, but, you know, remember what we're I'm not saying celebrating, I think, because it's a lot of cases it wasn't a celebration, but more of a commemoration, and yeah. hopefully a rededication that, you know, we all owe something back to our community.
And we're losing, we're getting toward the end of the greatest generation, and I know my father served in France and Belgium. In the 82nd Airborne, and it's special to remember what those folks did.
Yeah. Well, and you two have talked about it before. When you talk, Matt, about getting involved and in participating, you don't see the participation in local government of people coming out for public hearings. I remember the days when budget public hearings, you couldn't find a seat in city council chambers. And now you have some of the agencies show up, and I think this year you had one person talked about things. You don't have the participation that you used to.
Well, I was talking to a former council member, Joe Wilson, and of course, when Billy and I first came on council, it was, I guess, somewhat contentious. You know, but I was talking to Joe and basically saying, you know what, on my service on council, I still look back at those as being the best years, because it was a very back and forth, a community that was very engaged, whether they like what we were doing or not. And you look now at the races that are going on and the races that have gone on. You know, we don't have the new generation coming up and serving on boards and commissions and running for public office and getting engaged. And I've had some meetings with some of the younger business members of the business community and saying, guys, you're the ones that have the new ideas. You've been raised in basically a world that is a lot different than what I was raised in. And we need that understanding and that perspective. And you guys need to start stepping up to the plate.
You know, I've noticed, though, Matt, and I think you will agree, in the last year, we've had lots of people that have volunteered for commissions. We are to the point where we're having to not appoint some people that would have made very good commissioners, because they there was someone that we thought was a little bit better. So
we're out of time. We will continue this next time. Matt Kelly, Billy Withers, thank you.
Thank you. News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.